Dringers, the Archer Special.
Hello, welcome. It's me, Ned Sherrin, with the tribute to the Archers. And over its 50 years on air, the Archers has reflected some truly momentous events, such as in 1953, when Dan Archer and Walter Gabriel marked the ending of the Korean War.
Morning, Walter Gabriel.
Morning, Dan Archer, me old pal.
Walter, I can't help feeling that the Korean War ending should stand as a warning to the West about being sucked into any further regional conflicts in Asia. Will erode the West power to keep world peace and give succor to the Eastern Bloc.
Well, no, that's just maybe, Dan. But that won't get the pigs in.
Oh, Peggy, I'm just so glad that Simon Pemberton is gone. What a rotter he was.
Well, let's hope the person taking over the Barrow estate is a bit less of a villain than him. All that Cameron Fraser. Oh, watch out, here he comes. Hello, Dr. Lecter.
Good day, Jack, Peggy. I just thought I'd pop into the Bull for a pint and maybe something to eat.
Oh, should we get Jolene over to the table for you?
No, she looks a bit stringy.
Anyway, welcome to Ambridge. What are your plans?
First, to abduct David and Ruth, sedate them with hallucinogenic drugs. Slice them lengthways and then eat their livers with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Oh, well, you've got good weather for it.
And then I plan to evict the Grandies from the farm.
What?
What did you say?
I mean, I plan to abduct and slaughter everyone at Grey Gables and have them as my Christmas dinner.
Well, that Dr. Lecter certainly made an impression, Jack.
Too right. Teeth marks all down the back of me leg.
Good evening. I'm Alfred Hitchcock. People often say that my psycho contained the most terrifying shower scene ever. That's simply not true. There's one infinitely more horrific scene I wish to share with you now.
Oh, Jolene.
Oh, take me. Take me, Sid, take me. Oh, yes.
Oh, Jolene, yes. Yes.
Talk about giving people nightmares. Goodbye.
New from BBC Enterprises, a tape all Archers fans can keep and treasure forever. Oh, no. Yes, Ruth Archer reacts to bad news. All of Ruth Archer's reactions to bad news gathered together on one tape. Who could forget that time when Ruth slightly overcooked David's shepherd's pie? Oh, no! Or, memorably, when Ruth was told that she had breast cancer. Oh, no! Or that terrifying moment when Ruth was told a comet was minutes from striking the Earth and that we were all going to be enslaved forever by giant moths. Oh, no! Yes, Ruth's reaction to any piece of bad news is available now in all good shops. And the first 200 copies come complete with their own big knife, so you can hunt Ruth down and make sure she never says, oh, no, ever again.
You're listening to Dead Ringers, celebrating 50 years of the Archers.
Hello, the Archers.
Yes, hello, the Archers.
Yes?
Yes, hello. I am an actor myself. I used to be a sportsman, but now I act. How could one be considered for a part?
I have our senior producer standing here with me. I'm going to pass you over to him and he can have a word with you.
Yes, okay.
Hello, who am I speaking to?
Yes, hello. My name is Chris. I was just speaking to the kind lady there about the possibility of being considered for a part in the Archers.
Got to ask you first now, are you an Equity member?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Since my chewing gum advert and my coffee advert, which you may have seen.
Indeed, and I enjoyed it tremendously,
yes,
I have to
yes.
say. But one of the things that I would say that it would concern me slightly that perhaps you might be a bit recognisable in the programme. If we were to cast you, say, as a, you know, a rough, rustic farmhand, Chris, would you just like to do me a little audition now over the phone, you know,
yeah.
if you were trying
yeah.
to be, a horny-handed son of the soil?
Okay. Shift that pig.
Yes, that's promised. We could probably do some work with that.
How about this? There are too many ferrets.
Naturally, it is an honour, as a regular listener to the Archers, to have this opportunity to wish a very happy birthday to the show. Sickly smile, sweaty armpits. Many a happy hour has passed with me, Cherie and the kids around the television waiting for the Archers to come on. Caring look. And as soon as we see that cat on the rooftop, the Sponsored by Cadbury's logo, and the Welcome to Brookside Close sign, we know it's time for the Archers. I think my favourite moments were when Grant threw Tiffany down the stairs and ran off with Kim Tate in that helicopter. Yes, happy birthday, Archers. And here's hoping Channel 5 will keep making the show for another 20 years.
Hello, I'm John Humphreys. Welcome to On the Ropes. This week I'm joined by Clary Grundy. Clary, when did everything start to go wrong?
Well, I'll have to think back. Well, it could have started going wrong when we were evicted from Grange Farm. Or when Joe killed the ferrets and ended up in hospital. Or when Eddie went bankrupt and lost his job delivering curries and lost his job on the building site. Or when Joe was found off conscious in a ditch. Or when Edward ran away from home and ended up living in a tent. Or when William got arrested after being caught snorting cocaine in the Met Bar toilets up Daniela Westbrook's shoes closet.
Yes. All right, we get the idea, Clary. But surely you've come through this bad patch.
Bad patch? No, that's my entire life. You know, just this morning I found out my Eddie regularly frequents gay nightclubs wearing a gimp mask. Five craven lessons for male flesh, and the keeper's cottage is built over an Indian burial ground.
Well, hang on there. If your life had been one constant misery from start to finish, what are you doing on this show?
I'm just cleaning up the studio. You're the one who started talking. Right, I'll just carry on giving this microphone a polish.
Clary, watch out for that loose wire. And that bucket on the floor. And those three flights of stairs. And that mantra. Which will send you hurtling into that cupboard full of BBC dynamite.
Oh, Eddie!
In the 60s, the Archers still managed to keep abreast of the momentous events occurring in the world outside and reflect them within the show, as in this interchange between Phil Archer and Bert Fry at the conclusion of the Lady Chatterley obscenity trial.
Morning, Bert.
Morning, Mr. Archer.
You know, Bert, I think the Lady Chatterley trial and the subsequent ruling that the book wasn't obscene could unleash a new sense of openness when it comes to mores and sexual lifestyles. And hopefully encompass a new wave of liberation for women that, combined with the introduction of the pill, will galvanise the women's movement worldwide.
Well, that's as maybe, Mr. Archer. But that won't get the pigs in. So, Linda, are you still having trouble finding someone to play Katisha?
I simply do not understand these Ambridge women. Do they
not know the importance of authenticity in this production? First, Caroline Pemberton refuses to have her feet bound for the role. Susan Carter refuses to smoke opium with me and the bull. And then Usha Gupta refuses to commit harakiri outside Grey Gables. I simply must have someone prepared to fully immerse themselves in the part.
It doesn't sound likely you'll find anyone at such short notice.
As a matter of fact, Jack, I've found the perfect person to play the aging cuckold left at the altar by Nanky Poo.
Not Kathy Perks.
No, it's me, Ross Kemp. Britain's, and now Ambridge's most versatile actor. I've played a bald, angry pub owner, a bald, angry security guard, a bald, angry policeman, a bald, angry solicitor. A bald, angry Japanese woman who sings in rhyme was just the next logical step. Listen to this. Nanky Poo, you leave him at the altar like that. Gutted I was. It's showing all over again, you inscrutable slag.
Dear Joe, switch the radio on so I don't have to listen to your gruff, unintelligible moaning.
I'm not listening to that radio bore, I show you, Louise. That's worse than you and yours. Put the news on. Radio 4.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Brian Pott. The headlines again. With the French banning British blood donations, the BSE crisis continues to deal a savage blow to farmers everywhere. I'd like to deal a savage blow to some farmers. Particularly that cowboy-hatted singing gimp Eddie Crundy. And that little git Brian Aldridge. He's not the squire. I'm the squire. Squire Perkins bigging it up on the farm. I'm going to come down to Ambridge and give you all Creutzfeldt Perkins disease. I'm going to chop you all up and feed you to each other. Before you know it, Jack Woolley will be chewing on Ruth Archer. Linda Snow will be eating the part of Bert Fry. And Jolene Rogers will be swallowing a bit of Sid Perks. Although not for the first time. So don't forget, old McPerkins will have your farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Pets and Vets are out, how can I help?
Oh, hello, is that the Pets Are Us Pet Shop place?
Yep, Pets and Vets we are.
Oh, hello, it's Joe here.
Yep.
What have you got in there, then?
A big appointment?
Oh, you say, what have you got in there?
Well, what were you looking for?
Well, oh, you say,
anything. Well, best thing to do is come down and have a look then.
Have you got any ferrets in there?
No, don't do ferrets, sorry.
You don't even know where you're going, never done ferrets ever.
Beg your pardon?
I see.
Yeah.
You don't do ferrets, never done ferrets ever.
I don't know of that, I'm afraid.
Oh, right. It's a bit of a shame, really, isn't it?
I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut you short now because I'm a bit busy here.
Oh, thank you for your time. Just before you go.
Yeah.
Have you not seen any of my ferrets down there, have you?
Probably not, no.
Well, like they go out, you see, and they run all over, you know, so worthy on them.
To a special 50th anniversary Archer special. So, great a Borchester! With me, Graham Norton.
And me, Mariella Frostrop.
Right, all you darling Ambridge people in the audience. Now, stand up if you're gay or lesbian. Oh, dear! No one's standing up! No one at all! Now, that's strange, because there are gay people everywhere in Britain. Except, it seems, in Ambridge. So, okay, now stand up if you're black or Asian. Oh, look! We've got one person standing up. It's Usha Gupta, yes! Now, darling, do the words token, ethnic, and character mean anything to you? Mm. Did they write you a part in specially, or was it one they had lying around after they cancelled It Ain't Half Hot, Mum? Right, we'll try another tack. Now, stand up if you've ever wanted an amorous encounter with a farmyard animal. Everybody, oh! This place is going to be a lot more fun than I thought. Mm.
Now, my first guest is someone I've admired for 50 years. He's the actor Norman Painting, who's been playing Phil Archer since the very first episode. Now, Norman, I mean, you've had a fascinating career. Where did it all begin?
Well, it was really episode one of The Archers.
And from that humble beginning, you went on to...
Episode two. After that, I branched out and did episode three.
Indeed, it's a remarkable episode. And then your career took another turn.
Yes, I decided to do episode 4, 5 and 6.
And then?
Episode 7, 8 and 9.
And then, surprisingly, you decided to do episode 10.
Yes, then 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and then 19, 20. Then I moved to 21. Then came episode 3,047,000, after which I did episode 3,048,000.
Well, this has been the most fascinating 4 days.
Patrick Harrison?
Yes, hello. I wondered if I could speak to Carol, please.
Yes, she's here.
Ah, yes. Would I be able to just have a word?
Who is that?
It's the actor, Tom Baker.
Oh, right. Hang on a second.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Tom.
Where?
How are you?
Well, I'm very, very good, yes. You are known as Carol, hmm?
Yes.
No. No, this is wrong. You are Linda Snell. The master is sending a jamming signal. He is making you think that you are really Carol Boyd, but no. That is not your true identity. You see, I was John Pertwee once.
Ah. Well, you managed to overcome it very well, if I may say so.
You see, I was rather hoping that you might be my companion and travel with me through space and time.
Well, can you tell me more about it? Because I've never been through space and time.
Maybe you could start by checking that the feng shui of the TARDIS was correct.
Actually, Tom, let me correct you. It's feng shui.
Feng shui.
Feng shui. You can spread it beautifully, can't you, with your vowel sounds.
Feng shui.
Mm. What are you doing? What are you up to?
My intention is, once I, the doctor, have got you as my travelling companion, and perhaps with that wonderful voice of yours, maybe you could give some elocution lessons to the Daleks. So when they're announcing that they're going to exterminate you, at least they could give you the Queen's English.
Good evening, and welcome to Mastermind. And our first contender is Joe Grundy, a farmer from Ambridge.
Arr.
Mr. Grundy, your general knowledge questions start now. What is the 18th letter of the alphabet?
Arr.
Correct. Complete the name of this famous character from TV's Dallas. J.
Arr.
Correct. What certificate do restricted movies have in America?
Arr.
Correct. What do stereotype yokels such as yourself say constantly?
Arr.
Correct. Are you extremely annoying?
Arr.
Correct. See this lever?
Arr.
When I pull it, the black chair you're sitting in will fall through a trapdoor and you'll plunge into a concrete dungeon. And right up to the present day, of course, momentous events are finding their way into Archer's storylines, such as this exchange between David Archer and Joe Grundy shortly after the conclusion of the American election. Morning, Joe.
Morning, David.
I see George W. Bush has won the American election, and at least this brings to an end a damaging period of political instability in the United States, and gives a chance for the fractured and heated atmosphere that surrounded the court battles to be replaced by a period of stability.
This is maybe. But I can't feel in George W.'s lack of a grasp of foreign policy issues could lead to an inevitable political backlash. And in many other conflict flashpoints around the world, that will be inevitably filled by single interest groups.
Well, but that won't get the pigs in.
You're listening to Dead Ringers, celebrating 50 years of the Archers.
Hello there. The name's Joe Grundy. Your car ain't broken down, has it? You after any help?
As Joe's powerful voice, dripping with honeyed vowels, penetrated deep within her most private inner sanctum, Miss Widdicombe, the gorgeous pouting virgin, braced herself so she could resist the carnal desires dancing within, yet still her skin tingled with anticipation of the touch of the rural Adonis before her, a man who had just one thought on his mind.
I need to get me pigs in. You know, you can't be stood here all day.
Beneath his cider-encrusted singlet, Joe's muscular frame ached to press hard against her frail, waif-like waist. His hands, rough-hewn and blackened by a lifetime of honest toil on the land, longed to roam slowly over her crystal-clear skin.
How about a straight answer? Do you want help, yes or no?
Yes, yes, of course the answer's yes, a thousand times yes. Remove your freshly painted tractor from its barn and kick-start its engines. Harvest my crop of sugar beet. Extend fully your mighty tilling implement and scoop up my fertile soil. Joe Grundy, take me in your powerful arms and defrock this pouting, delicate virgin with your engorged passion.
You are with my back. You got me joking. My farmer's lungs playing up and all. Right, best seat of them pigs.
Well, you haven't got the AA's number, have you?
I don't understand why we've all been summoned here to the bull.
Don't ask me, Ruth. I just got the same note as everybody else.
It's all a bit creepy. You ask me, it's that Linda Snell behind this.
I assure you all, I had nothing to do with this. No, you didn't, Linda. I did. So, who here on the Archers is no longer merely dull and has instead become incredibly tedious to the point of catalepsy? Who's become a liability? Who's holding you back from winning any new listeners born after 1955? It's time to throw off the weakest character. Eddie Grundy, you voted for Brian Aldridge. Why?
Well, he's rubbish, isn't he? He only ever acts posh and cross. I do not.
Yes, but he has banked far more than anyone else in the village. Certainly a lot more than you, Eddie. So, Linda Snell, you voted for Caroline Pemberton. Why?
Well, frankly, Anne, she acted atrociously by dropping out of the Mikado at the last minute.
Yes, well, you know a thing or two about atrocious acting, don't you, Linda? Sid Perks, you and every other person here voted for Ruth Archer. Why?
Well, every time she gets any bad news, she just goes, oh, no. No idea how annoying it gets.
Really? Well, there's plenty of other annoying people here, aren't there, Sid? Your lovemaking with Jolene sounded about as realistic as Joe Grundy's accent. But it's votes that count, isn't it? Ruth Archer, you are the weakest character. Goodbye. Oh, no.
There have been claims over the years that there has been far too much agricultural information on the Archers, but it's always included with great skill and subtlety.
Make love to me in the shower, Sid.
Oh, I want to. I still want to. I can't stop thinking about an outbreak of warble fly in the whole town.
Warble fly? I thought that had been eradicated years ago. Oh, touch me. Touch me all over.
Oh, I am, I am, I am. It appears that some farmers have overlooked the most elementary precautions.
Huh?
Oh, you drive me wild.
Oh.
I can hardly believe it, but they've not been dipping their stock regularly.
Oh. I want to dip your stock now.
Really? Oh. It's so simple if people would only follow the math guidelines.
Oh, if only.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Those guidelines of which are available at any post office free of charge.
Post your letter to me now, Sid.
I mean, as if things weren't bad enough. With Colorado beetle being spotted on Tony's potatoes. And Brian's deer suffering from the staggers. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Let's go to the bedroom. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Oh, do you want to make love to me at last?
No, I've got some leaflets from the EC all about farming procedures. I thought we might read them together.
I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, sorry. Is that directory inquiries?
Wait, sir.
Well, hello, it's Joe here.
Hello.
Well, you've got your number, see?
What's the name you're looking for?
My name's Joe Grundy.
No, I don't need your name, sir. I need the name you're looking for.
I've forgotten my phone number, so I need...
I'm not going to give out any details regarding the phone number you're phoning from, sir.
Why, sir, you can't give me my own number. Never mind. Well, David, can I have the name of Eddie Grundy, then?
That's great. Hold on a second.
Hello?
Good afternoon. This is the supervisor speaking. What's the name you're looking for?
Oh, he was having a number of Eddie, you see.
Right, what's the person's second name?
Oh, it's Grundy, I think, yeah. That's right. I was wondering if I'd like to give you that name. Could you find his phone number for me so I can phone him up? Because I can't be bothered walking around here.
Right, okay. Well, do you have the address?
Yeah, right. It's Ambridge.
Uh-huh.
Near Borchester.
You have the full address. Street name that he lives in.
Well, it's just like round the corner over there by that barn.
I don't have enough information with that. You would have to give me an address.
Oh, right. Okay. Well. Sorry, I think I just turned into a motorbike then.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Colesworth, John Ravens, Mark Terry, and Kevin Connolly. It was wrote by script associates Tom Jameson and Nick Houghton, and Simon Blackwell, Dave Cohen, and Paul McKenzie, John Holmes, John Colesworth. The Archer's consultant was Jeremy Pascal. The title music, which has just run out, was by John Whitehall, and the producer is Bill Dare. He brought no pages in for a while.